Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you for joining us. Joining me today on the show is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Sean Finnegan.
Hello.
And by popular request, Fran Mirabella is off the show permanently. No, not really. Fran is out for the day. He will be back next week. Guys, if you listen to the audio version, please leave us a review. It helps out the show. So let's go over what we'll be discussing. Today, we'll be discussing the Destiny 2 news out of the latest update, show you the invite that was sent out to attendees, and speculate about a little Easter egg contained within and what it could mean. But first, here's the news. Bungie has reminded us once again about the Destiny 2 May 18th reveal with the following text on their latest blog. You might have noticed that we're inviting some special guests from the media and our community to be part of a live audience for this premiere. They'll be among the first players to get some hands-on time with Destiny 2 immediately after the conclusion of the live stream. The PS4 and PC versions of the game will be on display, so you should expect another wave of news, coverage, and content to dig into after the event is over. Yes, IGN will be there, and we will be sure to let you know how the PC and PS4 versions compare. If you're watching on mobile and use the Destiny app, 25 new stickers were added to your phone that will allow you to send your friends some cute characters from the game as text messages. Just download the app update and they should be available to you right now. Bungie.net was also updated, allowing you to filter by the language of your choice. So if you would prefer a language that is not English, now you have a few more options. Server maintenance on Destiny will take place on May 4th at 10 a.m. and last until 2 p.m., so if you're expecting to play during that time, feel free to take a short break. The May 18th reveal is just 20 days away, and I cannot wait until we can show you more. Speaking of showing you guys more, let's open this up and talk about the Easter eggs.
Have you guys seen this? Yeah. So I woke up this morning and was scrolling through my Twitter, and there were some Twitch streamers and Destiny community people being like, look what I got. I'm so excited. So I've seen what's in there, but I'm still stoked.
Ooh. Basically, we're on the wide. We'll edit in some better shots of this later. But Destiny 2 gameplay premiere event, physical invite, April 28th, 2017. Then it's an embargo sheet. Don't talk about this. Until now, we're good to talk about that. And we can discuss more.
Physical invite, huh?
Yeah, the physical invite. This is the actual good part, the interesting thing. There's camera one.
That's not true.
There it is. Well, it's what's in here that's super interesting.
Oh, really? Because I think this figure of Cade is super interesting.
So this figure of Cade was also given away for GameStop pre-orders of Destiny 2.
Yeah, I did
see
that.
But this Cade figure is dope. I'll give you that. So this says, welcome to a world without light. And on the front, you see a dead ghost.
Whoa.
So, I don't know if you guys saw this yet.
Yeah, it's very dim. It's hard to see it.
In the trailer, everyone was like, where are the ghosts? And this kind of further hints at the dead ghosties. And on the back, there's some text there. I'll read it to you guys. Bungie and Activision invite you to the Destiny 2 gameplay premiere, May 18th, 2017. Doors open, 9:15 a.m. Keynote begins, 10 a.m. Jet Center, LA, Hawthorne, California. One entry per person. Invite non-transferable. So CJ,
give it.
I've transferred it, but unfortunately, this is just a piece of paper, really.
Rip.
You can't go.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
So here's the box. I've opened it up, and on the inside, it is a little ghost pin, which is actually really, really cool.
Baller.
Yeah.
And I think if you like were to fold it this way, I think it kind of makes the shape of a ghost. Maybe I'm crazy.
Yeah, it kind of looks like
I'm
that.
Crazy?
Yeah.
CJ will give it to me. Sean's doubting me.
I'm sure we need Fran Mirabella to model this pin here. It's like last week's episode.
And then, yes, we do get the Cade Six figure.
Very cool.
And
Let's open him up.
He's really cool. So this is a lot of you guys have this already. If you happen to pre-order Destiny 2 at GameStop, you actually get this little Cade 6 guy.
Did you pre-order?
I did, but not on GameStop, so I didn't get the Cade 6 thing. I was going to pre-order, then cancel it.
Yeah.
Work in the system.
So it's this cool, cool Cade 6 figure. I'm actually really happy I got this because I think I missed the pre-order window. I don't know if they have more of these. Tons of people in the community have it.
Check it out.
I actually didn't have time to get it. Sean, do you want to look at it?
So it's nice. Every time Destin gets something cool, we kind of sit next to each other. So it sits kind of in the spot that I look at it most of the time.
You can look at it, enjoy it.
Nice. Yeah, this looks really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cute. So let's talk about the dead ghost. So basically, talking about the dead ghost in this invite, the thing about this is everybody in the reveal trailer was wondering where they were, and there's a lot of theories. So what does it mean if the ghosts are dead? If the ghosts are dead, they're your means to be resurrected. The ghosts were created by the Traveler and sent to revive you, so to speak. And if they're gone, there could be some sort of mechanic in the game where if you die, or as I hypothesize in the Rewind Theater, maybe if NPCs die, like if Zavala dies, he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, and that gives them a lot more leeway with what they can do in the story. Now, of course, there's a way to write them back to life if they choose to. They could be like, oh, the Traveler's gone. You defeated the Cabal. The Traveler's okay. And now everybody's back.
Yeah.
Do we know what the status of the Traveler is right now? Is it dead?
It's not dead. It's not like support. Dead. It's still floating there. Yeah, so it's in the balance. Yeah.
But like they said, like the Traveler gave its last breath of life to create the ghosts.
Okay. Maybe it is dead.
And it's been
But during the game, like one of your favorite moments, Sean, is
Yeah, they're still like siphoning life off the Hive. Yeah. They're still siphoning life off of the Traveler.
How can I block CJ as
the end of the campaign?
Let's get rid of this, Destin. Let's get rid of this. Right here. There we go.
I don't know. I think it would be really interesting to – I think it means a little bit more literally. Like they're just not going to be – someone was tweeting me about this. They're like, what do you think the max light level is going to be? And I was like, man, I'm not even sure light's going to be a thing in Destiny 2. Like I think it'll be a regular progression and sort of talent experience sort of system, and not like you get max level and then in order to progress past that you acquire light. I don't think that that's going to be a mechanic in the game, but I don't think that means there's going to be no light in the game. Light is how the Guardians channel their super abilities.
It's one of the core mechanics basically.
Yeah.
And one of the almost lore things that kind of allow you to progress as a character, allow you to gain your super and all that stuff. I don't know if the ghosts are tied to that per se, but it's going to be interesting to see how all the mechanics change, because we know basically the safe harbor is gone. We know we're not sticking around on the Cosmodrome.
Yep.
You know, we're not sticking around on Earth, basically. We are leaving to go get people back, to bring people back, and then take the tower back eventually. But when you start out in Destiny 2, it's not in a good place. Yeah. Like,
the other thing.
Happy time.
The other thing that's weird is that a few people mentioned this. We didn't lose any main characters that we grew attached to from Destiny 1 as well. So maybe there's another piece of that puzzle where somebody could die and die permanently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no ghosts, no resurrection. You know,
well, that's what I keep talking about. To me, that's the most exciting thing, because there are a ton of these characters that we like who could die. And, I don't know where the actors' contracts are at with Activision or whatever, but, I mean, that's usually a way to be like, well, he's doing this movie, so I don't know if he's going to be able to be in so-and-so game at the same time.
And it was really weird when they announced, Peter Dinklage being changed over. Obviously, everybody remembers when Nolan North came back in, but it was weird that they didn't use that as, a plot device, in a way. gone. You know, you could just maybe have him transition that way in a sense.
Yeah, they just kind of did it. I feel like Dinklage got so big with Game of Thrones, and they're just like, he's too expensive now.
Yeah.
That absolutely had some
for sure
factor.
But there could have been an opportunity there to write a story element in there, and then have that as like a continuity piece.
Mm. I mean, I hope if they make any sweeping changes, obviously they explain that in the narrative. I think like it would be something that would benefit them better. It just helps players get more immersed in the world if there's a reason for the things that happen in the game, both mechanically and sort of like systemically. But I don't know. Do you guys really think that something as big as light would just be like totally gone from the game?
I don't know, dude. Like they're talking about drastically revamping how the game plays. And a lot of people are like, you know, we're all talking about what we want from Destiny 2 right now. And we're actually going to have a feature coming out for that next week, Monday. The problem is, I think the mechanics are going to change so drastically that we're going to get a different type of game. I don't think you can necessarily expect the same exact type of experience that we got with Destiny 1. I think it's going to change significantly to the point that your expectations that are tied to the Destiny 1 and how it was built, like with matchmaking. Everybody talks about matchmaking and how raids can't have matchmaking. I'm like, they can fix that, but you're stuck in the mindset of how strikes and stuff work right now.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get – I don't think there's anyone out there that wants Destiny 2 to be exactly the same thing as Destiny 1. But at the same time, like if it's a sequel, I don't know many sequels out there that have just totally done away with whatever the first game was and gone in a totally different direction, right?
You're still going to have supers. You're still going to level up.
It's still going to be like a first person shooter. Yeah. It's still going to be like weapon and gear based, I think. Like the progression will be at least.
But the discussion of even how weapons progress too. Like I always think that like having white and green and, you know, weapons is kind of dumb. Like I hope they just have legendaries.
See, that's the kind of stuff.
And then,
engrams will still play a part, I feel.
I feel like it will too.
It's so core to the experience.
But yeah, think
engrams in some way will play a part. Yes. But I don't know that you're necessarily going to have white, green, blue, purple,
no,
yellow.
I hope they still have that.
I hope they do, but it's like
they will. But imagine if actually getting a green is like more of a special experience instead of just millions of them drop.
That's what I was going to say. Is like it's, you know, I mean, again, I keep bringing how many times on the show have I compared this to World of Warcraft? But in World of Warcraft, like there are legendary exotics in World of Warcraft are called legendaries. Mm-hmm. Everything else is like lower tier, right? Yeah. But like, those exist in the game, but very few people have them because they're so difficult to get. And when you get them, it's like an enormous achievement, and they're very, very powerful. I can see how that might ruffle some feathers in the community. Like,
that's
if it's
what I
so
want,
hard
though.
To get.
Like, when you had Gallahorn, it was the only problem with the Gallahorn drop in year one was that it was random.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, if there was a quest line you could do with your buddies and you could all work towards
getting
really
that hard.
Gallahorn and it was really difficult and you were rewarded with that exotic weapon that everybody talks about or that you're going to need for the raid encounter or to make the raid encounter easier.
There was something special, though, about that magical Gallahorn drop. Like, it's funny. Think of another weapon that
it's
a
slot machine.
It was, but that made it crazy. Like, everybody remembers that moment the Gallahorn dropped for them, unless you bought it from Xur.
So, I mean,
well, that was a year or two after.
Exactly, and that was a long time after, but
You bought it, right?
No, I got a random drop about a month, maybe 6 weeks before it first got nerfed, finally, after, like, many, many hours of not playing or not getting it. Funnily, though, like, it took me longer to get Truth, which I finally got my first Truth.
Nice.
Like, last week.
That's crazy.
I don't know. I think it would be cool if they revamped sort of the rarity, but changed it so that it wasn't a random drop or just something entirely based on RNG and made it like a long quest line or something very difficult quest line. That way it would imbue it with more importance for players, but also make people feel like they earned it instead of we're just like awarded it randomly.
That'd Speaking cool. of Xur, you made me think about this. Xur actually has 90% plus drops on all of his gear this week. So if you're trying to build a T12 or T11. Anyway, sorry, super nerdy stuff. But like, I'm like, Xur, he had that good gear. I forgot to mention in the beginning.
That's hilarious.
But what about Xur in Destiny 2? Do you think he's going to play a core
Same thing, yeah.
I hope he plays, what if he's the one who dies? I don't know. I mean, we don't know much
People
about
like, I see him in the background, I'm like, that's not
Xur. We didn't, we
No, I mean, I think Xur is one of the more, I mean, by design, enigmatic figures in the universe of Destiny, and I think it's really cool. I think he's really cool, and I really want to explore more of the narrative with him, because like, he comes bearing all these gifts, and for a lot of Destiny 1, he was like the only way to get exotics, right?
Yeah.
And then he represents, yeah, he represents the Nine, who is this like mysterious council of figures who we don't know if they're like allies or foes or like what their long-term plan is. I just want to know more about that.
That gets me really excited because like,
who are the Nine?
You're leaving Earth, right? And you have to go to, you're going to go to space. Yeah. What if you go to the Nine and ask for help or like find
what even could the Nine be?
And that adventure is even more exciting.
Like Guardians?
Especially if there's space combat because death now holds weight. Right. When you go, when you leave Earth, you're vulnerable. You're constantly vulnerable. And there's probably some sort of loss of progression if you were to die in Destiny 2. Like imagine it's like Dark Souls where if you die once, OK, all your loot's there still and you have a chance to get it back. But if you die again, you don't get it. Like you reset that progression. Oh, we don't know what they're going to do, but they're definitely I mean, with this dead ghost thing. There's definitely weight tied to death now. Well, in some way. How they're going to implement that, though, that's what I'm trying to think of.
I mean, they revamped the light level system from year one to two anyways. It went from, you know, what were you, level 32 when there was no official rank sort of thing? So even that was – at first it was hard to understand. It's like, oh, I first got to get to experience 40, which was – used to be my light level.
And then it's your gear after
that. And then they brand – the ghost is coming alive.
He's okay.
But yeah, then they kind of took a different approach and said, okay, light level's to 400, and then
I don't even remember how it initially was.
Yeah,
max level was what, 26, right after the campaign? No, 24.
30. Yeah, it's 30.
Year one was 30.
Year one was 30 because
you
chrono raid to get to 32, and then after that, that's when they evolved it.
But did you use light to get there?
Year one was 30. There was no.
Oh right, the light was on the gear. No, but the light was on the gear. That's what it was.
Never leveled up. It wasn't until Taken King that they introduced. Okay, you actually have to level up again to 40.
Yeah,
and then you can put on all this new stuff.
Yeah, and that was
light was like a built-in stat. It wasn't on the gear. That's when they changed
light was a built-in stat to your gear in year one. Vanilla Destiny.
That's what I mean. It's like in Taken
King. The only way to get to 30 was to run Vault of Glass until your eyes bled and get the specific piece of gear drop that you need. And apparently they never adjusted that loot table because I got one full set. I got a Warlock full set.
Oh, I still don't have a full set. Yeah, I got a headpiece the other day or yesterday from Crota. But I don't think anyone is getting the armor drops that they want.
No. Brian jokingly tweeted out, he's like, hey, I've played the raids a lot. I'm not getting any armor drops. Does it drop armor?
Does it?
Lots of weapons. Yeah. But
I didn't want to get armor where literally like nothing dropped. And I'm like, did I get anything? Ooh. I got a weapon.
Yeah.
I got Praetorian foil. So I have like all the weapons this year.
Never have gotten.
I have just about all the weapons.
Weapon drops are like nuts, but armor drops, they're super stingy.
I really want that Vault of Glass armor too.
Yeah,
it's that, right?
You kind of really care about the Crota armor. Like it looks cool, like all like, you know.
It's too busy.
I like Oryx.
It's really busy.
It's too busy. I like Oryx because like the cracked aspect of it. And I really like Vault of Glass.
Yeah.
And then Wrath of the Machine, I already had most of those sets.
Yeah, I had a full Wrath of the Machine set too, but the new set does look cooler.
Well,
the Vault of Glass though is
like the ornaments specifically.
If you have a splice set already from Wrath, you can just activate the ornament.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Like if you have the old one and it's the spliced version, you can just activate the ornament and you're good to go.
That was like the red versus the black, right?
Right.
Yeah. Or at least as a hunter.
So, I mean, one interesting thing, we talked about that character Hawthorne. We know that this is actually in Hawthorne, California.
Yeah, I noticed that. That was clever.
I think that's like a pleasant coincidence.
I don't know,
which is funny,
because
like, have you guys been to Hawthorne?
Not a lot there.
I've always wondered like how they actually gain their weapons and all the stuff. So there's obviously probably a bit more. Like that is a nice finite detail. Like to me, like those are the things I think once we get a chance to, you should ask that with them. They're really smart and clever when it comes to that kind of stuff. So that was interesting to see that on the invitation.
So there's that character. We know that it seems like that character is going to teach you or you will be that character. And you're going to learn about how to
do all this stuff
without a ghost.
This is the guy who isn't a guardian, but like left the protection of the city and the tower like early on and then like has been surviving out in the wild all this time by himself, right?
Basically.
That's the character?
Basically, yeah. It's the basic synopsis of who that person is.
Did you see Bife's video about Radagast? It just came out.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's so good. Yeah, it's in the update and as well. Yeah, I think he released it yesterday, but it's so good. So if he starts doing one for all these characters coming out, it'll be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, we don't know much about them right now.
Yeah.
So, with the video that we were talking about earlier, what are some of the key things that you definitely want to see happen with the sequel? So for me, I'll start. I definitely have talked about this a lot. I like that they're departing so vastly from the original, or at least that's the rumor. And if it's true, I'm glad they're departing pretty vastly from the original and implementing some new interesting things in the sequel, because I want to see what they do there. Mm-hmm. How are they going to change the game for the better? They know a lot of their mechanics work, like stacking. My inventory is a bunch of garbage I don't want stacked up.
Yep.
And I got to dump it into my vault because I don't want it and I can't delete it. But get out of my vault. You're taking up inventory space. Like all the runes I have that are just taking up a slot. So,
For me, I think when I was saying before about legendary versus rare engrams, I think that if the weapons were all legendaries and they potentially had the ability to light level those up, I think it eliminates, you think of all the stuff that looks similar in white, you know, rare, blue engrams. It doesn't make sense to do that. Like you literally don't use, like how many weapons are there in the game like that? Probably like 50%?
More?
Mm-hmm. Why spend all that time implementing, naming, and designing all these weapons? They look the same as their legendary counterparts.
So you're saying transmog, which is something Sean has been talking about for years.
Exactly.
Basically.
Because it's just, it doesn't make any sense to have all those things in the game when you only use it for the first like 30% of the game.
There's a ton of blue gear too that looks really, really cool.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, I got this legendary that I hate, but it's a higher light level.
Yeah.
And I don't like the design
stats
of it.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. And I mean, I've always said you got to look cool to be cool. So.
So the Sean motto.
Yeah. You get style points for everything you do, man. So like, even if gear isn't quite as good, I'll wear something that looks cooler.
Yeah. And that was,
but that only goes so far. Right? Like, it's not going to be like a blue, you know?
Yeah. But that was the issue with year one, is that you just grind it out like those first two raids and you're like, hey, check it out. I'm max light. Oh, look, I'm the same as that other guy who's max light.
Yeah.
Hey, we're all the same. Yeah. Because there's one activity to get max lights. They did a really good job at
it.
It'd
be cool.
That.
I mean, they addressed a little bit of that with shaders. Like, a lot more shaders would be cool. And I think we'll get that. I think we'll just get a lot more customization. But like, the thing that I would want that I've always talked about, and I've said it many times on the show again, so I kind of hate to tread the same ground again, but like, I really just hope they embrace like an MMORPG systems and mechanics philosophy, especially with the talents and like the Guardian playstyles. Cause like, for the most part, you're running the same builds for PvE and PvP for every class. There's not a lot of variation.
I don't know. You keep the same, like,
when was the last time
for PvE and PvP?
No, not for gear wise. I'm talking about, like talents and abilities.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
So if you have T12, it's like,
just ask yourself, when was the last time you ever saw someone use Blade Dancer in PvE?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rare.
Like, I'm not asking for Blade Dancer to be equal to or greater than the other ones, but if there was enough nuance and depth in the talent trees to where if you were smart and a good theory crafter and you itemized right, it could work at least decently well or do something differently than the other builds, that'd be something that offers players the opportunity to kind of really get in there and dig deep and come up with new things that the devs hadn't really thought about.
I'm trying to think, the biggest impact for Blade Dancer was the Crota Raid. Like, and that was a piece of the puzzle that
because you can go in viz,
because you can go in viz, so that's one of those things.
So it also played a big part in like Challenge of Prison of Elders, where like
because it buffs damage. Yeah. It kicks anybody out of their super.
Yeah.
Or kills them instantly.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's clear. It's clearly the best spec for PvE is Nightstalker, unless there's one or two situations in which a golden gun. So, for instance, like we have one hunter on Crow to run golden gun just so that we can one shot the sword bear. Get the sword real fast. Mm-hmm. Like that's minor things like that.
The Celestial, and then they can also one shot the orb thing. I can't remember.
The Oversoul, yeah.
Oversoul, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, the example I used was a long time ago. There's these Titan gloves, these exotics called No Backup Plans, where when you get a shotgun kill, it activates your overshield. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, I'll run Invective. Or wait, no, then there's, Invective. I think it's Invective. I can't remember. Well, there's another.
The shotgun that exotic
auto regenerates, but there's a shotgun specifically that I believe when you get a kill, it triggers the overshield as well. Mm. So I figured, I'll put both of these on.
Yeah.
And then I'll spec my abilities to basically just allow my overshield to be always recharging.
Yeah.
And I'll run around shotgunning people, have infinite ammo, always have an overshield up. And all I'll do is just handle adds, and everyone else will be able to focus, and my fire team will be able to focus on things that I can't instantly kill.
Yeah.
And I'll be really, really efficient in this way. And I was like, this is the greatest idea. I've never seen a Titan run this specific defender build before. It's going to be great. Bought all the gear, leveled it all up, spec'd it right, jumped into a raid. And guess what? It turns out the two items that this build is predicated on share the same cooldown.
Yeah.
So you can't do it. And nowhere on the gear does it say that it shares the same cooldown. And my point is, that's a limitation that's built into the game by the developers that I, using my own intellect, should have been able to overcome or go around.
So you're saying the facts and are a little muddled with the inventory.
Well, just like embrace that. Allow players to come up with that kind of stuff and have it work,
you know,
as opposed to limiting it in-game.
Hearing you discuss stuff like this, it reminds me of the Reddit thread about the guy who played Destiny wasn't aware of the community.
Yes.
And the stuff that he like didn't understand that the game probably should have laid out a little better. Like, he didn't have all this gear because he's just like, oh, I didn't even know that was a thing. And he happened to team up with this one group that showed him a bunch of the like little secrets and stuff like that.
And I mean, so there's I agree with you in one sense, but then there's the other piece of the puzzle for Destiny where it's the experience of figuring that stuff out. Yeah. Like, the whole Sherpring thing, I think, evolved from that. So, like,
Sherpa evolved, like, Raid Sherpa, I mean, yeah, you need help sometimes because you don't understand the mechanics. But in some aspects, it evolved because the game didn't do a good job of explaining some of the mechanics.
Right.
In the same way that LFG evolved because the game should have had an LFG system. I mean, like, it was a need that the community had.
Yes.
That the community had to create for themselves. It's kind of like with World of Warcraft. But I think they did a little bit better job of building that stuff into their product.
So they could be better, but I hear what you're saying. There's some details that you feel like you wish that they would explain or at least show you. But then there's other pieces of the puzzle with Destiny. If they told you, I think it would take away from that like mystique of figuring it out.
I'm not even saying that they should explain it. I'm just saying that like if there is a limitation – like, so
sure, it's clear.
Yeah, like in World of Warcraft, there are many different types of gear or talents that stack like a 50% damage buff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it'll say like this item does not stack.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you're like, oh, okay, so if I put these two together, it won't work. Whereas like I thought it would have been really cool if I came up with a build that I thought would be awesome and it's based on these two things. Nothing says I can't do that and then it doesn't work. I feel disappointed.
Yeah.
That's all.
I think
you would have, if it worked, I would have stumbled upon that myself. No one would have explained it to me.
Right.
It would have been a great discovery, and instead I'm let down because it didn't work. Yeah. Haven't you guys thought about, like, what if I could play Night Stalker differently? Or what if I could play.
Of course.
Yeah. Know,
and then tweak the builds in that way. Other MMORPGs do that, where people would do really interesting things with the way they distribute their talent points. Oh, and that's the other thing is the talent trees, there's so many throwaway nodes in there.
Right.
That people just. Like, no one ever selects it.
I run max armor, except if I have to jump really high. Does anybody not run that out of you guys?
Yeah. It doesn't really affect my, as a Titan.
I mean, it depends on what I'm doing. Yeah, I switch back and forth depending on if I'm wanting agility to be quicker. Sometimes I play that way.
Okay.
But, you know, it depends. Very rarely.
I believe it was a hunter build. It was either a hunter or a titan where you could literally fly across the map. You're just moving way faster.
Well, I use Bones Veil for that
titan
reason.
For sure. Like, titan skating.
Titan skating. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there are times when it's – I hear what you're saying, though. There's a lot of talents where, yeah, you're on them 90% of the time. This is where I think PC, you know, raises an interesting piece of that puzzle where we were talking about, and again, there was a lot of speculation last week. I read some of the comments where people are like, oh, you know, you guys don't play a lot of PC games maybe. And it's like, well, no, we're not saying we do. But in this situation where Destiny potentially could dramatically change from, you know, enabling nodes really quickly to going back from this weapon or that weapon, that is a piece of puzzle where I do think if the PC build loads faster and can equip nodes quicker and then you can do that kind of stuff.
I hate hopping into my menu. It's just like loading. I'm like, I just need to pop heavy.
Yeah.
You know?
Because with the Night Stalker, I do that. I go back and forth from like having the node where I regenerate orbs to my smoke lasting longer. So I do that and I change it before I super. Hmm. So there are moments like that where, I think – don't use a ton.
PC will have that stuff. That's the kind of stuff that they'll make macros for. Yeah. Like, bloop, that build, bloop, that.
And I mean, that's just getting a little bit away from what I was talking about, which, just to reiterate, was like, I hope that Destiny 2 embraces a more, like, player-focused depth mentality. Like, I just want the game to be really deep. Like, have a lot of systems that can kind of be complex that you have to think about, that you have to test, you know? Like, if two talents, let's say two talent nodes look like like they both do something really good for your abilities and you're not sure which one. Well, you got to pick one and you got to go out into the world. You got to shoot a bunch of things and be like, it does this much damage. You got to add it up. Mm-hmm. Then you got to go spec the other one, do the same thing and be like, oh, this one's better. And then you test it with different weapons. Like I love that mentality. And I think coming from deep MMORPGs, that's what I would love to see Destiny do more of. Cause I think everything they've done otherwise, like I think as an FPS, it's a great shooter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moving, running, jumping, shooting at each other, the guns, the sound, all of that is amazing. None of that needs to change.
Yeah. It's going to look better in 60.
Exactly.
It's all of the other sort of RPG mechanics that I think need to be buffed. That's all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there's little things. Yeah. Like we talked about a lot of features, like, you know, transmog. That would be awesome. I've talked about vehicles. Like Bungie is they're the creators of Halo, and yeah. Halo is like a top tier, maybe yeah. the great, one of the great FPS shooters.
Nail it.
Yeah. It's like yeah. they nailed. Like, Halo works because it's the trifecta of shooters, right? It's guns, grenades, vehicles.
Yeah.
All of them are perfect. Mm-hmm. And Bungie innovated that philosophy. It boggles my mind that they couldn't get vehicles to work in Destiny. I would like to see them take another shot at that.
So now that all the raids have kind of gone through their iterations, we've all played them all, Destiny is definitely, like, sunsetting. What I'm doing right now is I'm trying to just... I've already 100% of my book. Now I'm trying to get all the emblems out of the book.
Have you 100% of your book on both platforms though?
I'm not doing Xbox, but I do have it. I did get my Hunter up to 375 on Xbox. So
yeah, so that's what you were doing the other day. Nice. Me and Brian were on and we were like, we needed a sixth for our raid.
Yeah.
And we were like, Destin's on.
Yeah.
We were like, his thing's probably like. So it was funny. You were like at 170 light.
Yeah.
And then Brian's like, oh, he's too low. And then he goes, wait. He's loving it up though. He just jumped to like 190.
Wait, wow,
220.
Dude, really?
Wait, 240. Like you were leveling up as we kept like looking at your character. It was really funny.
I was hopping over to my warlock and I had the spark of light on my hunter. I'm like, oh, well, I'll give that to my lowest level character. Gave it to my warlock and immediately I'm like, well, I'm Rise of Iron ready and that'll quickly get me to where I need to be with that character for Rise of Iron.
I still have a Spark of Light, too.
So I do, too. So it's interesting. I was thinking about that because I really would like to be able to play, on Xbox and PC, depending on, you know, what system or platform you gravitate to. I never thought about that being an option. Maybe if you have – that might be a way to maybe circumvent if they don't do the whole character progression thing.
Mm-hmm. Everyone just gets Sparks of Light.
Hop into Destiny today and you have the collection or whatever, you get the Spark of Light, right?
Yeah.
And you go through the intro story, you pop that Spark of Light, you're 220.
Yeah.
Immediately.
That's good.
So, 220 light?
Yeah. Mm. 220 at 40.
That might be the way to do that, where it's like if you're playing on PC, maybe.
Wait, really?
The Spark of Light gives you gear, and it levels you up to 40 immediately.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I will start a Warlock then. I just didn't want to do any questing.
And then what you do is you grind through the Rise of Iron story, basically.
Yeah.
That gets you to about 300-ish. And then you just do strikes.
I can't believe you're actually doing that because I thought about doing it, and then that's the reason that it kept me from.
We don't even have to do the campaign. Yeah. I have like all kinds of infusion material.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I've been watching Grenader Jake a lot lately.
Yeah, and he does trial carries.
You don't even have to grind to 300. You just go from 220 to 400.
I'm trying to get carry through trials on Xbox with a crappy character.
Oh my god! Hey, it's been done before. So when I first, what was it? I can't remember. Early on in Destiny 1, when Trials first, I got my Hunter to, I think, whatever the max level was before 32, like 20. There was like this after level 20, but before like 28, there's that gap where it's really hard to like level up. Remember back in early Destiny?
Yep.
I remember I was at that point when I started my Hunter after that. And I had two of my friends carry me in trials when I was like six levels lower than everyone.
Oh, yeah.
And they basically played 2v3 the whole time. And then I got to the lighthouse.
You run out as distraction.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
bait.
I just
res bait.
Yeah. I'd kind of like sit around and like glance around corners, be like, they're over here. I'd like just communicate information to them and stand in the back.
That's
and
then, a
friend like,
does.
They bait me.
Oh, not here to defend himself.
That's what he gets for taking a day off.
But just moving back to that, I think that would be a really cool way to potentially have you have the ability to play on both consoles or like all three is if you have an account and they don't want to do the whole character migration thing, Spark a Light if you're on PlayStation 4 and hit max level.
Yeah.
You get that on PC or on Xbox. So if there's a way to potentially do something where, because like, yeah, sharing all your weapons between games or exclusives and
like,
all that stuff, right?
Okay, look, we see that on PlayStation. You did like everything, but you didn't on Xbox or PC. So because it's tied.bungie.net, we'll give you this item.
Yes.
That will basically let you level up your characters on those other platforms to where you
that would be
started
great.
On or where you start.
Yeah.
On those on whatever your platform preference would be.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people who are saying, too, they would like to see if it's going to be shared progress. But, I mean,
I doubt it.
I doubt it, too. Like, that's a technical feat that I don't think – I mean, they could do it, but from
it's more like a they don't want to work with each other.
It's tough. Yeah, that part's tough.
So we've done, like, everything in Destiny 1. We have this May 10th reveal right around the corner. Everybody's going to play it in May. I feel strongly that the beta is going to be in June.
Mm-hmm.
I think the beta is going to be in June. I think it'll be E3, and they're like, the beta is here for everybody. People at E3 get to play, and you'll get to play it at home. This big PR thing, and it's smart. It's a smart strategy. The thing is, I think once that beta hits, if the beta goes long enough, nobody's going to be playing Destiny 1. Everyone's going to be either in the beta or playing Destiny 2 once it is. CJ will play.
You'll play
Trials, right? Yeah, you'll play the one mode that you won't have.
Their previous betas have been what? Like a week or two?
No, like the alpha was like a month, right?
Really?
Was that long?
It felt like a long time because that's all I did.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I'll bet you like if you go back, it's like a week.
I'd have to look up the stats.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're basically saying if the beta comes out.
There was an alpha and a beta, and then the game came out.
Yeah.
Beta, well, I mean, so neither, I don't remember the alpha or the beta lasting all that long. Mm. And I remember they both had like a, you couldn't go past level 8.
You hit level 8,
and that was
Crucible,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think, well, it'll have some weird stipulation like that. And I also don't think it's going to be like a big chunk of the game to play.
Do you think it'll be June though?
The beta?
July? I mean, the game's out in September.
Yeah.
So like when else would they do it?
I mean, July seems more likely. I just think they're going to get, I don't think they're going to have the beta in the same month that they do whatever they have playable at E3.
Okay.
You know?
Interesting.
Like, I think that they're going to want to do their gameplay reveal in which they let whatever, some small people play it, a smaller, like, amounts of people play it, like influencers, Twitch streamers, whatever. Mm-hmm. Then I think they're going to do a big E3, here's it on the stage, here's everything you want to know, like, get the ball really rolling, and then that same event at E3, it'll be behind closed doors where they get the, like, a little bit more people talking about it, and then they cruise on that for a month or so, let all the other E3 news dry up, then they do a big beta. I just don't think – in June, it's not too soon.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that if they do it – I think if they launch at the end of June, it would be perfect because then – I mean, this is the first time E3 is open to the public. People come in.
Which, side note, those 15,000 tickets, still not sold out months later.
Yeah. But again, everybody who's coming for Destiny is excited about that. So
totally.
That'll generate that hype. End of June, the beta. Assuming
it's playable at E3.
Yeah, assuming it's playable.
It seems like it's going to be.
We don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd say end of June or right after E3 would be awesome and how long it lasts. And will I play Destiny 1 in the meantime? Yeah, I will. Yeah. Like, I will go back to it just to play Trials for the sake of, like, it's what I do. It's like a ritual every weekend. But I mean, yes, I'll be whatever
is in. Once the sequel's out, though, I think.
Yeah, Destiny 2.
You know what? I think once the sequel's out, if Trials doesn't come with it, like we discussed last episode, people will still go back to Destiny 1 just for Trials.
For sure. Yeah.
I won't.
Well, yeah, hardcore, like CJ and Fran.
I'll play Halo.
Yeah. We had this conversation, I mean, you and I think, a few weeks back, where when Halo 3 got released, I went to that, but still played Halo 2 a lot. And Halo 2 was still top of the leaderboards for a long time, like even after, into that whole Xbox, 360 cycle. So, I have a feeling I will play Destiny 1 still. But yeah, when it first comes out, there's going to be lots to explore, lots to do, but Trials will always be there.
Definitely.
For me in Halo 1. Destiny 1. Oops.
Guys, I think that's all we have time for this episode. What I'm going to ask the community this time is if you guys have any thoughts about this Destiny 2 invite and if you would like to call into speakpipe.com/fireteamchat and let us know what you think about that dead ghost. What do you think they're going to do in the Destiny sequel? I would love it if you did that, and we would talk about it on the show. That is it for this episode of Fireteam Chat. Don't forget, we post every Friday at 5. Guys, let's get ready for the outro. We're just going to do it, and then I'm going to do an unboxing of this thing right afterwards. All right. Thank you for watching, and until next time, Guardians out.
Hey. Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.